Welcome back to the Curtis Research Audio Archive. Today we're looking through a collection of articles, some research papers, notes, all focused on the really diverse groups of people living in the geocultural region we often call Kurdistan.
That's right. And our aim here, really, is to pull out the key insights from these materials. We want to help you, the listener, get a clearer picture of the complex reality for minority communities there across Turkey, Iraq, Iran, and Syria.
And understanding this matters, doesn't it? These layered identities, their different experiences. It's crucial for grasping the bigger picture in the Middle East.
Absolutely. Let's maybe start with the basics. What is Kurdistan? It's this geocultural area in West Asia. Kurds are the main population group. It stretches across parts of southeastern Turkey,
northern Kurdistan,
northern Iraq,
southern Kurdistan,
northwestern Iran,
eastern Kurdistan,
and northern Syria.
Western Kurdistan, you've got mountain ranges like the Zagros, the Taurus. It's a vast area.
Right. And population estimates, they're all over the place. 25 to 45 million Kurds globally.
Yeah.
But the key thing from these sources is it's not a country. No fixed borders, politically recognized everywhere.
Exactly. And the political situation is completely different depending on where you are.
Yeah, the KRI in Iraq has constitutional federal status.
Yeah, since 2005. Then you've got Anis in Syria, de facto autonomous.
But in Turkey and Iran, direct state control over Kurdish areas.
And this difference is huge. It fundamentally shapes life for everyone, especially minority groups living within those Kurdish majority areas.
And it's not just about Kurds, is it? The archive makes it clear Kurdistan has always been home to so many other groups. Assyrians, Chaldeans, Syriacs to Yazidis, Turkmen, Armenians, Shabak, Kakais, Alevis.
Arabs, Roma, Circassians, historically Jews, Baha'is, Sabaean Mandans as well, people who've been there for centuries, coexisting.
And this concept you mentioned before we started, the minority within a minority, that really stands out.
It does. Take Assyrians in the KRI. They're a minority relative to the Kurds there. But the Kurds in the KRI, they're a minority within Iraq as a whole.
Ah, right. So it creates these really complex layers of vulnerability, shifting allegiances.
Exactly. Things you might not see at first glance.
The sources also stress how hard it is to get good data. Population numbers are estimates, often sensitive politically.
And censuses have historically been used to, well, erase diversity. Assyrians counted as Arabs in Iraq, Kurds called Mountain Turks in Turkey.
Yeah. And the names themselves, Assyrian, Chaldean, Syriac, they can be points of contention, right? Same with Yazidi identity.
Definitely. It's loaded. Self-identification is really the principle we should try to follow where we can.
Okay, so let's start maybe in the north. Northern Kurdistan, southeastern Turkey. Diverse place, but state policies. They made things tough for minorities.
Yeah, a key factor is Turkey's interpretation of the 1923 Treaty of Lausanne. It's very narrow. Officially, it only recognizes three non-Muslim religious groups, Armenians, Greeks, and Jews.
And the crucial point is who's left out. Kurds, Alevis, Assyrians, Yazidis, Roma. They don't get the official minority status under that reading.
And that has real consequences for rights, language, education, property. Plus, no official ethnic or religious census data since 65. It kind of makes these groups invisible in state records.
And there have been assimilationist policies, too. Restrictions on languages other than Turkish.
Historically, yes. Big impact, especially on Kurdish, but other languages too. And then the conflict since the 80s.
The Turkish-Kurdish conflict. Brutal for everyone in the southeast.
Absolutely. And non-Kurdish minorities like Assyrians and Yazidis often got caught right in the middle. Displacement, violence, layered on top of existing issues.
So looking at Assyrians there, ancient community, but their numbers have plummeted.
Dramatically. Historical persecution, massacres, the World War I genocide, emigration. Now, maybe only 3,000 or so left in their ancestral areas. Most are in Istanbul now.
They speak Neo-Aramaic dialects,
endangered
languages.
Right. And despite not being officially recognized, there's been maybe a tiny bit of positive movement. A new school, some property return.
But huge challenges remain. Land confiscation is a big one mentioned in the sources. The Mor Gabriel Monastery case, for instance.
Yeah, that's a major ongoing struggle. It's fundamentally about their connection to the land, their history, their very presence.
And Yazidis in Turkey. Similar story of decline.
Catastrophic decline. From maybe 60,000 in the 80s to just a few hundred now. Fleeing persecution, caught in the conflict.
And Turkey also hosts Iraqi Yazidi refugees who fled ISIS.
Correct. They speak Kurmanji Kurdish, but their faith is distinct, often misunderstood, leading to prejudice. not officially recognized, the conflict meant mass displacement, often with no real right to return or compensation.
So precarious security, limited religious freedom.
Very much so. Hate crimes, vandalism. It's a tough situation.
What about Armenians? They're recognized under Lausanne.
They are. Ancient presence, though the genocide obviously reduced their numbers drastically, especially in the southeast. Recognition gives them some rights, like running their own schools.
But the sources say it's not full equality. Societal discrimination, limitations persist.
Right, and the legacy of the genocide is profound. Plus, ongoing concerns about the destruction or neglect of heritage sites in their ancestral lands in the southeast. Attacks on property still happen. Recognition isn't a magic wand.
Then there are the Alevis. Huge group, maybe millions.
Yeah.
Including Kurdish Alevis.
Potentially 10-25% of Turkey's population, largest religious minority after Sunnis. Their practice of Islam is distinct semavis instead of mosques, different figures venerated. Yeah. Kurdish Alevis have their own specific traditions, too.
And the key issue for them is non-recognition as a distinct religious group.
Exactly. Semavis have no legal status as places of worship. Compulsory religious education is Sunni-focused. The European Court of Human Rights has called Turkey out on this.
And they have a history of persecution. Massacres like Maras, Sivas.
Yes. And Kurdish Alevis face what's called double discrimination for their faith and their ethnicity. It's a struggle for basic legal recognition and equality in a state that privileges Sunni Islam through the Diyanet, their religious affairs directorate.
Lastly, for Turkey, the Roma Dom and Lom groups.
Estimates are huge. Maybe 205 million Roma overall, with Dom numerous in the southeast. They face really deep socioeconomic exclusion, discrimination in, well, everything. Education, jobs, housing, healthcare.
Negative stereotypes, forced evictions, mm-hmm. hate speech.
And inadequate state protection. They're not officially recognized minorities either. Their languages, Romani, Damari, Lomavrin, are endangered. Turkish is taking over. Their marginalization is often overlooked.
Oh, Hannah the Chai Lady is here. Rose Bosch, Hannah.
Ah, perfect timing. Rose Bosch.
How's the chai today, Hannah? Let's see.
Is it good? Maybe needs a bit more sugar.
No, actually, it's pretty good today. Just right, I think. Thanks, Hannah.
Excellent. Always appreciate the chai break.
Okay, back to the archive. Let's shift south now. Southern Kurdistan, the KRI in Iraq. Very different situation, right? Because of its autonomy.
Totally different. It's a constitutionally recognized federal region, de facto autonomous since 92. KRG, parliament, government.
And crucially, KRG Law Number 5 from 2015 recognizes specific groups.
Yes, a big contrast. It lists national components, Turkmen, Chaldeans, Syrians, Assyrians, Armenians, and religious sectarian groups, Christians, Yazidis, Sebian Mendeans, Kakai, Shabaks, Feli Kurds, Zoroastrians.
That recognition led to reserved seats quotas in the KRI parliament. 5 for Christians, 5 for Turkmen, 1 for Armenians. Historically.
Right. But this system is, well, it's become a political football. The Iraqi Federal Supreme Court just recently, February 2024, abolished those KRI quotas.
Really? Why?
Part of broader disputes between Baghdad and Erbil and within Kurdish politics. It caused a big outcry from minority groups.
What happened?
It seems they've been partially reallocated now. 5 seats total, 3 Christian, 2 Turkmen. But the whole episode shows how these rights, even when formalized, can be vulnerable to bigger power struggles.
Okay, let's look at some specific groups there. Assyrians, Chaldeans, Syriacs, Christians.
Yep.
Indigenous people in KRI and the Nineveh Plains.
Population debated, but significant. Many displaced by ISIS, of course. They're recognized as national components, had those seats. But their relationship with the KRG is complex.
Complex how?
Well, they suffered under Saddam's Anfal campaigns. Post-2003, instability hit them hard. Then the ISIS genocide in Nineveh, devastating. The KRI offered refuge, which was vital.
But there are tensions.
Yeah, the sources mentioned persistent allegations of illegal land confiscation or encroachment by Kurdish individuals, sometimes linked to parties or officials. Mm-hmm. Pressure to support dominant Kurdish parties, limits on independent politics.
And returning to Nineveh is difficult.
Very. Insecurity from multiple militias, Iraqi army, PMF, Peshmerga, PKK affiliates, lack of reconstruction services. Unresolved disputes over who governs the area. Their security really depends on sorting out power sharing and property rights between Baghdad and Erbil.
What about the Yazidis in Iraq? Main centers in Sinjar and Sheikhun.
Ancient group, mostly Kurmanji speakers. Their holiest site, Lalish, is in Sheikhun, within the KRI. Recognized as a religious group by the KRG. Again, that identity debate, ethnically Kurdish or a distinct group.
And they faced the ISIS genocide in 2014.
Horrifically. mass killings, thousands abducted, especially women and children, enslavement, destruction of sites. Thousands are still missing. Hundreds of thousands are still displaced, many in camps in the KRI.
And return to Sinjar. Also stalled.
Massively stalled. Sinjar is contested territory full of armed groups, PKK-linked YBS, Shia militias, PMF, Iraqi army. Turkey conducts operations there targeting the PKK. The 2020 Sinjar agreement between Baghdad and Erbil to stabilize it. Largely unimplemented.
So no security, infrastructure destroyed, political deadlock.
Exactly. They're caught in this web of KRG Baghdad disputes, regional conflicts. It prevents recovery and return. Some also face discrimination from neighboring Arab communities. And within the KRI, some report pressure to identify as Kurds.
Okay, Turkmen, third largest group in Iraq, present in KRI and disputed areas like Kirkuk.
Right. Estimates vary hugely, maybe 600,000 to 3 million in Iraq overall, speak Turkic dialect, mostly Sunni, but also Shia, recognized as a national component in KRI.
But their main issue is Kirkuk.
Kirkuk is central. Historically faced Arabization under Saddam. Now, tense relations with Kurdish authorities over Kirkuk's status, which the KRG claims. Accusations of intimidation, displacement fly back and forth. Land disputes are a constant issue.
ISIS targeted them, too.
Severely, especially Shia Turkmen. Their rights and security in Kirkuk and other disputed areas are tied up in these complex conflicts involving Baghdad, Erbil, local factions, and Turkey, which supports the main Turkmen party, the ITF.
Shabak, another minority in the Nineveh Plains.
Ethno-linguistic group, maybe 250,000, 400,000. Most see themselves as distinct, neither Arab nor Kurd, though some identify as Kurdish. Speak Shabaki, an endangered Iranian language, mostly Shia Muslim.
Recognized religiously by KRG, but not ethnically.
Correct. Neither KRG nor federal constitution recognizes them as a distinct ethnicity. This affects language rights. Shabaki isn't taught in KRG schools, for example.
And their challenges.
Targeted heavily by ISIS. Caught in the Nineveh disputes between Baghdad and Erbil, post-2003 faced pressure from some Kurdish elements, now divided loyalties, often along sectarian lines, Shia closer to Baghdad PMF, Sunni more aligned with KDP-KRG. Their contested identity makes them vulnerable.
And the Kakais and Yarsin.
Ethno-religious minority, mainly in areas southeast of Kirkuk, Nineveh, Dilala, maybe 110,000, 200,000 in Iraq. Syncretic faith, unique rituals, often practiced discreetly. Ethnically Kurdish, speak a Guarani dialect.
Recognized as a religion by KRG in 2015.
Yes, but not federally recognized. Often registered as Muslim, which offers some ambiguity but denies full recognition. Faced Arabization under Saddam. ISIS was an existential threat targeted for their identity, appearance, the distinctive mustaches, shrines destroyed.
So they continue to face threats.
Discrimination, kidnappings, assassinations, yeah. Their religion is poorly understood. Security in the contested areas where many live is a major worry. They balance secrecy for protection against the desire for recognition and rights.
Okay, let's move east. Eastern Kurdistan, northwestern Iran. Different ballgame again. Under the Islamic Republic.
Entirely different context. Twelver Shia Islam is the official state religion. Laws conform to Islamic criteria. Clear hierarchy for minorities.
Who's recognized?
Zoroastrians, Jews, and specific Christian groups, Armenians and Assyrians. They get limited rights, reserved seats in the Majlis parliament.
But limited how?
Severely. Can't hold senior government or military posts. Converting from Islam is apostasy, potentially punishable by death. Proselytizing Muslims is strictly forbidden, again with harsh penalties. Discrimination in jobs, education, it's tolerated existence within very tight boundaries.
And ethnic minorities, like Kurds themselves or Azeris in the region.
Systemic discrimination, suppression of cultural linguistic rights. Education in minority languages like Kurdish is heavily restricted or banned. Persian is compulsory. Cultural activism is viewed with suspicion, often labeled separatism, leading to repression.
What about unrecognized religious minorities, so Baha'is, Yarsanis?
Severe systematic persecution according to the sources. Detention, torture, execution reported, denial of education, employment, property confiscation, destruction of religious sites. It's a grim picture.
And in the Kurdish provinces specifically.
Reports of major human rights violations, economic neglect, heavy militarization due to state security concerns about Kurdish political movements. Intimidation, arrests, harsh sentences. It's multi-layered discrimination limiting pretty much all rights.
Looking at specific groups, Assyrians and Armenians are recognized Christians.
Yes, ancient communities, especially around Urmia for Assyrians. Population decline post-1979 revolution. They have reserved seats, can practice within their communities.
But the restrictions on interacting with Muslims apply.
Strictly. especially the ban on evangelizing. And Christian converts from Islam face extreme persecution, often charged with acting against national security. So recognized status means tolerance, but under heavy control.
Yersanis, Kakai. They're significant there, mostly Kurdish ethnically.
Yes, mainly in Kermanshah, Kurdistan provinces. Unique faith, rituals, but not officially recognized.
So they face pressure to identify as Shia.
Yes, often required to access basic rights. This leads to severe discrimination in law and practice education. Jobs, political participation are denied. Activists are persecuted. It's a policy of forced assimilation that erodes their heritage.
Jews, ancient community, but very small now.
Extremely small in Kurdish areas after mass emigration, mainly to Israel. They are recognized, have a seat, but face significant state-sponsored anti-Semitism, restrictions, and the Iran-Israel hostility makes their situation incredibly precarious, constant suspicion.
And Azeris. They overlap with Kurdish areas, mainly Shia.
Right, largest ethnic minority in Iran overall. As Shia, they don't face the same religious discrimination as non-Muslims or Sunnis. But as an ethnic minority, they face restrictions on mother tongue education and cultural expression. Article 15 of the Constitution, theoretically allowing it, isn't implemented for them. State preference for Persian impacts them, too. Local tensions with Kurds can also exist in mixed areas.
Okay, final region, Western Kurdistan, Northeast Syria, the AANES area, Rojava. Another unique situation.
Very unique. De facto autonomous region that emerged during the Syrian civil war. Controls about a third of Syria. Extremely diverse. Arabs, Kurds, Assyrian Syriacs, Turkmen, Armenians, Yazidis, Circassians.
Not officially recognized internationally or by Damascus, though negotiations about the future are ongoing.
Right. Their system is based on this charter of the social contract. Principles like direct democracy, gender equality, co-presidency systems, religious freedom, cultural pluralism, multiple official languages, Arabic, Kurdish, Syriac, and Jazeera region. Mother tongue education is a huge policy shift from the old Ba'athist, Arab-centric system.
It was under massive pressure.
Immense pressure. Existential threats from ISIS remnants, hostility and military incursions from Turkey and its Syrian National Army, SNA allies. Complex relationship with the Syrian government. It's an experiment in multi-ethnic governance happening literally in a war zone.
And internal challenges, too. Accusations of Kurdish dominance. Issues in Arab areas.
Yes, accusations of authoritarian tendencies, Kurdification, especially regarding curricula in Arab majority areas, media controls, difficulties in genuine power sharing, particularly with Arab tribes in areas like Deir ez-Zor.
Arabs are the largest group in AANES areas overall.
Likely majority, yes, especially in Raqqa, Deir ez-Zor, parts of Hasakah. They are official partners in the governance model, represented in councils, security forces, SDF. Arabic is an official language used in education.
But tensions exist.
Significant tensions. Clashes in Deir ez-Zor last year highlighted issues over perceived Kurdish dominance, resource distribution, like oil revenues, conscription, governance concerns. Aranese acknowledged problems, promised reforms. Their stability really depends on addressing Arab grievances genuinely and finding a place in whatever new Syrian structure emerges.
Assyrian Syriacs there. Indigenous Christians.
Yes, in Jazeera, the Khabur Valley, speak Neo-Aramaic. Syriac is an official language in Jazeera. Their political parties, like the Syriac Union Party, are active in Aramis. They have their own security forces, MFS, Sutoro, coordinating with the main SDF.
So unprecedented recognition compared to before?
Definitely, compared to Ba'athist suppression. But challenges remain. ISIS targeted them horribly on the Khabur in 2015. Turkish incursions are a constant threat near the border. Internal concerns about Kurdish dominance, disputes over school curricula accreditation, land issues sometimes surface. Security is complex.
Yazidis in Syria, yeah. Communities in Jazeera, and Afrin, Kurd Da.
Same faith as Yazidis elsewhere. Recognized by Enes, greater freedom than under the Ba'athists who register them as Muslim, but they've been catastrophically affected by Turkish military operations.
Especially in Afrin.
Mass displacement from Afrin in 2018, Ras Alain in 2019. In Turkish-occupied Afrin, reports are of systematic destruction of shrines, looting, kidnappings, forced conversions. They can't live or practice safely there. It's cultural erasure.
So the main threat is external aggression.
For Syrian Yazidis now, yes. The AA inability to prevent the loss of Afrin was devastating for them. Many are displaced within AN areas or are refugees. Their heritage is acutely endangered.
Armenians.
Yeah.
Also recognized.
Yes. Long history, communities in cities like Qamishli. recognize constituent community, participate in governance, cultural associations, churches operate. Also impacted by instability and Turkish threats near the border, security and preserving identity are key concerns.
In Turkmen, in AIT areas.
Also present, recognized,
yeah.
But politically diverse. Some align with Turkey-backed opposition groups hostile to AIS. Turkey actively supports Turkmen groups, sometimes against AIS. So it's complex, divided loyalties, suspicion. AIS has to navigate ensuring inclusion while dealing with external agendas. Circassian, similarly recognized, focused on language culture preservation.
So looking across all four parts, despite the huge differences, there are common threads for minorities.
Absolutely. Conflict-induced displacement is a massive one. It's hit minorities disproportionately everywhere. ISIS, the Turkey-PKK conflict, the Syrian war, Yazidis, Christians of all denominations, Shabak, Kakais, Assyrians, Armenians, forced to flee.
And being displaced often means extra vulnerability for minorities.
Yes. Loss of community ties, specific security risks in mixed camps or cities, problems accessing aid tailored to their needs, like trauma support for Yazidi survivors, and the huge problem of abandoned land and property. If they can't get it back, they can't return. Durable solutions need their participation and guarantees.
Another shared theme is the threat to cultural heritage and language.
Huge threat. Deliberate destruction by groups like ISIS. Damage during military operations, like Turkish actions in Syria, and then state policies in Turkey and Iran restricting language use Assyrian Syriac, Shabaki, Damari, Kurdish itself, pushing them towards extinction.
Although Kuryai and ANS have policies to promote minority languages.
They do, which is a significant positive contrast. Mother tongue education in Kurdish, Arabic, Syriac. But assimilation pressures and conflicts still erode traditions everywhere. Community efforts, diaspora work, international bodies like UNESCO try to help. But it's an uphill battle.
Because heritage is about identity and memory. Destroying it is about erasing people's narrative.
Exactly. Preservation is resilience. It's vital for the future.
So wrapping this up. Minorities across this transnational Kurdish space face, well, a really complex and often precarious existence.
Shaped by state policies, from harsh non-recognition in Turkey and Iran to formal recognition in KRI and ANS. But even that recognition isn't a guarantee, is it? We saw the issues with quotas, land rights, security, political pressures, external threats.
And the devastating impact of conflict and displacement. It's hit these groups incredibly hard, threatening lives, cultures, languages.
Yeah. Their future really hinges on finding genuine security, rule of law applying equally, meaningful political participation, real power sharing, respect for diversity, and crucially, accountability for the abuses they've suffered.
That requires commitment from everyone involved, doesn't it? States, regional authorities like KRG and ARS, the majority populations, the international community.
It does, to uphold the rights and dignity of every single group in this incredibly layered and historically significant region.
It makes you think. Reflecting on these diverse experiences we've touched on, legal recognition versus persecution, cultural survival versus existential threats, it paints such a vivid picture. A picture of the struggle for identity, for belonging, in one of the world's most complex regions.
You have to ask, what does this concentration of minority experiences within the Kurdish context tell us about the nature of minority rights, about human security, not just there, but globally?